Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into Power Athlete Radio, featuring The Crew. Where a former pro football player and a D3 All-Star use strength and conditioning as an excuse to talk about anything but. Now here's John and Tex.
Hey, Power Athlete Nation. Welcome to another episode of Power Athlete Radio. I'm joined by Mr. Chris McQuilkin.
Howdy.
And Dr. Matt Zanis.
What's up?
Thanks for stopping by, Doc.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Great. We're going to bang out episode 529 of Power Athlete Radio, where we ask and answer questions from our hotline, usually. And if you're interested in leaving us one, you can hit us on the hotline at 929-464-464-0. 929-ING-ING-0. Yeah. And you can leave them there. And we've decided to take a slight detour. And we've asked Dr. Zanis to provide us some questions from some of his coworkers that we can answer here on Power Athlete Radio for you. So the first two were a little esoteric. Yeah. I mean, we were, kind of big picture kind of stuff, but in the vein of Derek Woodsky, let's get specific. What can people take away?
We're going to get very, very specific right now. We're getting granular.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in. Yeah. I like the micro.
Yeah, because peptides are pretty granular, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just a small little molecule of a protein, right? So we have a question from actually a good friend of ours. Mr. Johnny Custer.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Johnny C.
Yeah, and he wants to know, with peptides, what role do you guys see them playing in the next 5 to 10 years as more data comes out on their usage? Do you think, as a whole, we're falling too much in the cult of citation desperately needed and writing off or ignoring positives tied to things like peptides or positive placebo?
I would say the peptides are not placebo. We've had a couple different podcasts on peptides. We had the one with Dr. Calvo and Dr. Parsley's, 99th level wizard on peptides, with all his knowledge and whatnot. But I really believe that, we're going to see some really interesting, not only healing, health and performance type stuff coming out of peptides. I mean, just the effect. I took BPC 157, during my shoulder injury when I was coming back from my shoulder surgery. And the effects in my shoulder were dramatically better than what the surgeon ever expected. Now, I don't know if I would have gotten those same results without it, but I wasn't willing to take a chance. I mean, if there was something, and the BPC, I think it's body protecting compound, actually helps with inflammation and has been very beneficial and shown to heal soft tissue injuries, and it's been pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a risk-reward ratio,
yeah.
Right? Like you weren't willing to go without that benefit, and yeah. There's no harm in doing so either, right? So yeah. why not?
The other one too is there's some really interesting secretagogues for growth hormone. So in the past, when they were prescribing exogenous growth hormone, people were developing antibodies against it, and then actually to the point where your body was forming some autoimmune issues against growth hormone. They found that actually using the peptides and the secretagogues like tesmorelin and ipamorelin and a few others. Stimulating your body's own natural production, which dramatically better effects and less and more healthier and not necessarily running into the same problems that we're getting into with people using exogenous growth hormone.
Yeah. I think before we get any deeper into all this peptide talk too, it'd be good to just explain maybe what they are in general, right?
Peptides are just protein chains.
Yeah.
And what they've done is they've figured out through some pretty extensive research and testing and, they have a ton of stuff that they're different chains of different proteins have different effects on the body. The peptide, if you were to look at a list of peptides, I mean, the amount of systems and different things that it cover is like an endless amount to the point where, you have, you go to a cosmetic or a dermatologist, for example, mm-hmm. and there's different peptides that they're using to inject to get rid of lines and doing improve health on the face. And I mean, so they're using it for cosmetic reasons. I mean, there's things that, if you, tune into what's the guy that we always love reading the reviews from his podcast.
Ben
Greenfield.
Oh, yeah, Ben Greenfield. Like, he's a big proponent and has done a ton of stuff on peptides. I mean, there's literally probably a peptide associated with everything from, you know, telomere length. I mean, this. I mean, it's pretty much an endless deal. I mean, the podcast we had with Calvo, he got into a few of those things. But even just in the last couple of years, like, whenever I talk to Parsley about it, he'll always come in and, we saw him today, and he's like, dude, there's new peptides coming out every single day. I mean, the research is pushing so far in terms of, like, health and performance and whatnot that I, like, this is, like, the next big thing.
So how can people go about? Do they search a specific problem that they have to find a good peptide, or?
I always recommend, I'm not a big fan of, like, the cowboy stuff where you just go on the internet and figure out what some dude's doing on a Reddit site and then ordering it for some, like, some random thing that shows up like that. No, that stuff kind of makes me nervous because, one, you can never control purity, and also, like, you don't know what's in it. So, like, dealing with, like, a guy, like a doctor, like Doc Parsley, or, you know, Calvo, or some of the other people, you know, people that have actually, MDs, studied this stuff and are kind of understanding the usage, I think becomes really pretty paramount. I would just not order something off the internet and decide to inject that into your body.
No,
I would. I know that goes without saying, but, like, there's, like, that.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, people do that stuff, and I'm like, man, I think that's really pretty cavalier and kind of stupid. Like, you don't know, like, there's no control over that stuff. So,
well, I think we have to acknowledge that there are people out there that are doing that. So, well, it's kind of like the same people that do other stupid shit, and that's Darwinism at its finest.
Yeah, well, I mean,
a quick Google. And I got best peptides for men. And then we're broken down into categories. We got...
What do we got?
This is an example. CJC12954. The following. Fat loss increases lean muscle mass. Better lipid profiles. Better deep wave sleep. Next up, BP157. Yeah. Does the following. Improves healing types of wounds. Stomach ulcers. So, like...
Yeah, well, I mean,
this
Derek,
is a listicle of three.
Yeah, I mean, then, Derek was talking about using it for his wound healing. It was actually when I had my shoulder surgery, I reached out to Derek, and he's like, hey, this worked really well in terms of healing up faster from, like, what he had had going on. He had a deal where he ruptured his Achilles, and we talked about it in the last, you know, recent podcast, and then it re-ruptured, and then basically the skin didn't close. To the point where they were like, if the wound doesn't close, we're going to have to amputate the whole back of your leg. And so he ended up, like, making this, like, paste out of Manuka honey and injecting a bunch of BPC in it. And all of a sudden it ended up closing, and he ended up saving himself. So that was good.
Yeah. But, and his doctor, it was pretty funny. Like, curious.
Yeah.
What'd you do? Cause, like, I couldn't prescribe that for you ever, but it's good to know that.
Yeah,
it
can
worked.
You write that down?
Yeah.
Because I guess, like, one of the largest drains on healthcare is, like, wounds that don't heal, which I was not aware of. But just going through some of the ancillary stuff, and not to say I'm an expert in any peptides, but what I tend to do is I defer to people that are smarter than me on a lot of this stuff. But whenever I read any of the research on any of the peptides, because they always do have some, like, clinical research where they've tested it on, you know, rat models and whatnot, you always have to go back and try to figure out, like, okay, what's the dosage that they got where you saw this effect? Now, what's the dosage you're selling? So a lot of times, like, you know, case in point, it'd be like, hey, you know, if you drink three beers that are 10% alcohol, right, which is kind of high.
Damn.
I want that beer.
Right, you're going to be smashed, right? Okay, but alcohol, so this beer gets you hammered, and then all of a sudden you're just selling, like, people a bunch of, like, 1% near beers of that same deal. And it's like, well, how many of these do I have to drink to find that same thing for three beers? You know, now all of a sudden I got to drink X amount. So I think a lot of times when they sell a lot of this potency, when you start looking at these things, I think that there's, like, well, like, what was the amount they were using to drive the effect that you're claiming, and versus what I'm getting as an individual. So that's kind of always my question.
Well, it's all context dependent, right? Because what I would need is going to be totally different than somebody like you, and all these individual characteristics have to be talked about too, because we all metabolize things differently. And, like, me personally, I metabolize stuff so fast, so quickly. Like, caffeine, you can drink it until, like, 5 o'clock at night and go to bed and be totally fine.
Dude, I could drink a pot of coffee and go to bed.
Yeah.
Zero problem with it.
But, you know, somebody like Tex might be a little bit different, and then he's up all night.
Real sensitive.
Are you real sensitive to coffee?
Not as sensitive as Mr. Luke Summers, but.
Well, you know what? Like, 2 years ago, he had a cup of coffee, and he's still up complaining about it somewhere. He's like, I shouldn't have had that coffee 2 years ago. Like, the dude doesn't metabolize that stuff at all. And to the point where, like, I bet, hey, you want to get a coffee? He's like, it's 10 in the morning. I'm like, What do you mean? He's like, I can't drink coffee past 7 a.m. I'll be up for fucking 2 weeks. Like that was like
his nervous system's like all the way up here,
as you know. But that's a real problem. I mean, people metabolize alcohol different ways. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I think with a lot of this stuff, I really wonder if the people that are taking this are actually getting the benefits, like real benefits. You know, so
I don't know.
I mean,
what does it pay to buy? Avoid name brands and just go to the generic because you'll get a better. Or is it? I don't know.
Well, I don't believe that the peptides are necessarily approved. Like I know there's FDA pharmacies that produce peptides, but I don't know if any of it has actually ever been approved for human consumption. Maybe some of them are. I don't know. I'm talking out my ass.
The Vital Proteins, like the brand of collagen, I take that, and there's collagen peptides are like on the product in which I consume.
So the I saw like things pop up on Instagram, and like one of the ads was for like some dermatology clinic, and they do like peptide injections into the face for like the dermatology microabrasion thing. Like I was watching this machine, and they were like lasering. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then they went through and were injecting things, and I was like, oh. And then they showed the before and after. I didn't notice that. Like I was like, I can't tell the difference. But like maybe who knows?
Well, that's the cool, intriguing part about the peptides is that it can be used for so many different things, right? And the role of them, from my understanding of it, I'm like you, I'm not an expert in it either. They're more of like messengers, right? So they communicate to the cells what to do. Like, do we want to grow collagen or elastin? Do we want to grow stuff that helps reinforce our tendons or our ligaments and stuff, or menisci in the knee? So all the shock absorption. But what it comes down to is how well they are actually communicating that information, which, you know, we have to talk about delivery inside the body, how much like it's metabolizing and being processed. But then also I kind of put the peptides in the same boat as say something like PRP or Prolo. These are just substances that we're injecting, let's say, into a joint to hopefully have an effect. But it's just like laying the groundwork, like laying the foundation. But the actual value comes from you, the person they're injecting into, and how you are communicating with those cells what to do through movement and through force. Because we're having a conversation here, and we just had a beautiful podcast about communication, and we're communicating using the English language. Well, the language of our cells, the language of our body is force. Which is interesting, right? Because if you inject something like a peptide or a Prolo or a PRP or something into, like, let's say, the knee joint, for example, if you don't ever change the way that the knee is actually experiencing force and load through stimulation with the ground, because we're only working with gravity and ground reaction forces, that makes it pretty easy from a physics standpoint, you're never going to get the change that you want. Because you have to stimulate those peptides in a way that tells them to, let's say, hey, we're going to differentiate into meniscal cells or into ligament cells or into, for the face, for example, collagen and elastin.
Yeah, we did go into some of that in Dr. Keith Barr's episode 352. It's cool. Yep. He's the one researching all that.
Yeah, no, he's there. I mean, I really think the peptide stuff is in its infancy, and I think there's some really good information. But the problem is I think that there becomes like now there's like a, you know, peptide for everything. Like I'm sure like they're just adding, it's like an endless amount. So then as a consumer or as a, you know, individual that's looking at them, how do you navigate that? I mean, do you get on Ben Greenfield's podcast and listen to all his stuff, you know, and who knows, maybe some podcast or some peptide manufacturers paying him to push that. So I think there's some interesting stuff. I think if you're interested in peptides, you should reach out to, you know, a clinical doctor or somebody that actually does the research and prescribes that and can give you a clear understanding of that. I had a really interesting thing. I always thought PRP was bullshit, and I was I had it done on my knee before and on my shoulder, and it wasn't until I went out and I saw Dr. Philip Yu, who is one of the guys that trained in our gym at Balboa. He's like one of the foremost experts now in the world. I mean, so much so that Inclidon went out and had Doc Yu treat him because the way he's doing it is so unique. So what he's doing is he's actually taking a blood sample and then he's analyzing your blood to figure out what your platelet count is. So and then they're taking, they have an algorithm with some like AI that basically tells them how much blood to take to spin down. So before they would just take a standard amount, spin it down, but we don't know, there was no platelet count. Mm-hmm. So he actually started analyzing the platelet count in like a blood sample, and then based off of their AI, it'd be like, we need to take, you know, I don't know, 30 cc's, let's say, of blood off that individual to spin that down to get a high enough platelet count to drive the adaptation and the change that we're looking for. And so that was the first time I'd ever heard that. And he's like, well, yeah, how do you know what your platelet count is? Like, what if your platelet count's high and theirs low and you take the same amount? One person's going to get an effect and it doesn't. So that was kind of like with the peptides or with anything. I think if you're going to do these things and spend money and try these procedures or whatnot, you should have some way to be able to say, all right, like, and so like with the PRP, you'd go see a guy like Doc U, mm-hmm. and be like, okay, how much are you taking? What does it look? And just be very kind of systematic and very intelligent about it, opposed from just going down the street and, oh yeah, let's do PRP. Well, how much of blood are you going to take? I don't know. I got a syringe. We'll take as much as we can. I mean, mm-hmm. so I like that kind of piece of like, hey, we did this. This is what we did. What are we going to do next time? How does that all work? And I think with some of the peptide stuff, if there's a real problem, like for example, you get your blood work and your growth hormones off, or you know, there's different things to fix. I think there's different ways to address these things with peptides. But just going on and like reading the effects and being like, well, that seems like a cool one. Let me take that. I disagree with that.
It's like throwing darts and seeing what sticks, right?
Yeah, it's like the bro supplement deal. Yeah. Like, hey, bro, what supplements are you taking? All right, I'm taking the same ones.
And that's the I like more the holistic approach to it, like you were just describing. Like the more specific and granular you can get, I think the better for your particular injury or whatever you're experiencing, but then also asking the deeper question of why do you need them in the first place, mm-hmm. right? I think that's something that the blood work can help answer sure. as well. And then I also work with a naturopath out in Scottsdale where he won't put an injection into somebody, whether that be the peptides, the PRP, the Prolo, without them having a consultation with me first. Mm. Right, because we have to ascertain what are the functional limitations that you're dealing with, what's the source of this movement dysfunction, the compensations, the impairments that are leading to, let's say, your joints degenerating.
Yeah.
Right. But then also from the standpoint of how are you actually executing it? Like there are guys that I think that they're doing this where they are like throwing darts and just like, hey, we're going to just inject this into your shoulder, versus somebody who takes something like an ultrasound guided machine yeah. and knows exactly where they're putting it based on what structure that they see that needs it.
So when I went out and visited Doc U, we were in California just by visiting family, and I went. I mean, it was actually during the big freeze here in Texas. We were stuck out in California, had nothing to do. I hit him up and was like, "Hey, what are you working on?" And he went over and he showed me his clinic. It was pretty amazing. He was the first person to ever really diagnose my knee. Mm-hmm. And I remember when you were like looking at me, and you're like, "How bad is your range of motion?" And then all of a sudden you got in there and you're like, "I can't believe you can only bend your knee that far."
Yeah, it was like a roadblock, like a stop.
So
like a hinge
what
in the
happened
door.
Is the papilliteus muscle calcified. So that calcifying of it, and then it started laying down osteophytes in the joint. And so that calcified papilliteus muscle now acts like that doorstop. Mm-hmm. And so he did like, he had this like machine that was called like an OrthoGold 100, where it sounded like a fucking hammer hitting a nail. It was like, kung, kung, and it shoots sound waves. And he was trying to break up the osteophytes and the calcification in the muscle on the back of my knee. So he did that. And I go over and see Dr. Bob, who does that once a week to me. And then he did a bunch of these Prolo injections trying to get it to like break up. Mm-hmm. And I need to go back out there and see him and try it again. But the one I was like, well, man, if like this is a known problem. So then I pulled up all this research. I'm like, oh, there's people that have had this before and have got it fixed. The problem is all the research is like in Asia, like in Korea and all these other places where they've actually fixed this. I can't, like to find a surgeon to be able to go through the back of your knee and isn't, there's not too many people want to do that.
Yeah, that's where there's way too much risk involved, all the vital structures that are going on back there. Yeah. Yeah. So do you think that there is a placebo component to all of this as well? And does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's placebo effect in everything. But I also think like the power of the mind is a pretty powerful thing. I think if people believe in something, we see it with religion. You see it all the time where if people have faith and they believe, things happen. I am too big a skeptic with this stuff to believe in anything, like to the point where I'm like, okay, I understand, but you have to be able to analyze this with like, okay, this is what I could do before, this is what I could do after, which is more of a functional kind of yardstick, more so than the emotional yardstick of like, yeah, I feel better. Like, what does that mean? You know, and I'm sure you've run into that. You're like, oh, how are you feeling? Oh, I feel great. Okay, great. Well, everything looks like shit, you know? So it's like, what's important?
Yeah.
Like for me, it's like the function is important. Can I do something? But we're constantly, you know, testing ourselves. Like, hey, if I can do X in the gym, what does it look like? Am I able to do more today than I was yesterday? How does that all look? And because we have real metrics for progress, and this is what I could do, this is what I can't, and how this goes, it allows you to see what's working, what's not. Yeah. Like, hey, if I took BPC 157 in my shoulder and I have more range of motion and I healed faster than I, you know, than I did before, then could it be the difference? I don't know. Maybe I was more aggressive in the treatment. Having Keith Barr on the podcast where he talked about shear and load and compression and all these other different factors and kind of put a little game plan together, I think that's really helped.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
PNF stretching works. I mean, dude, you did a bunch of PNF on me. That shit works. For some reason, for me, because I've met people that didn't get an effect from PNF, I get massive effect from PNF stretching. Like on my shoulder, like any resistance, it just fucking knocks it all back.
Yeah, I think you brought up an interesting point about the emotionality component of it and understanding how you are actually measuring the outcome you're looking for. Right, that makes a really, really big difference because if whatever you don't measure, you have no control against, right? You have no idea to know if you're actually getting better or not, or if it is placebo. But even the placebo effect is fascinating from a research standpoint because they've shown that it counts like 40% of people, you know, emotionally feeling better and actually improving range of motion or flexibility and everything like that too, because it changes the chemistry in the brain around. And it changes your brain's perception of threat and what's going on. And that's why education is such a key component with all this stuff, because the provider who's delivering you the information matters. Mm-hmm. Like if you trust and you have confidence in that individual, you're more likely to have a positive outcome. If you think he's full of shit and you're skeptical, that outcome goes down, right? You're more likely to have a negative response to it. So the person who's delivering it, that's their utmost responsibility, and their role is to be able to have you trust them. And I tell people this all the time, I could be the worst PT out there, but my people get better that I work with because they believe in me and make them feel good about it.
So you're the placebo.
I'm the placebo.
Mm. Yeah, I'd like connecting both of those points with the PNF stretching. I had when I was coaching at the high school challenge, connecting with the basketball team because they just wanted like weightlifting machines versus learning how to squat and bench. They weren't immediately good at those things. But then with the PNF, like some iron cross work, going back to some Ruiz tricks and tools that utilize PNF stretching.
I'm so glad we don't do the iron cross.
Uh-huh. That then they were like, that really like opened them up, and you saw and felt, and then they eventually came around. It was almost a year before we really got into barbell work with that particular team. But then it was just like, I couldn't tell them enough. So then fuck it, let's show them. And then went to the iron cross because that hurts. And then like, plantar flexion, dorsiflexion, manipulating the calf. And then it was good for their team because, like, I wasn't doing it on all the kids. It was their teammate that was in charge of, like, all right, I'm going to force dorsiflexion in here. You're going to hurt. And then, like, set them free to really open up the calf, the Achilles, the hip, the hamstring, all that good stuff with an iron cross. And then they got to switch roles. And then it accelerated camaraderie between freshmen, and it was a small enough team where seniors and freshmen were playing together and responsible for each other, that man, was it placebo, but they eventually got more involved in the training, the weightlifting, and you know, nothing to do with peptides, but just a cool placebo plus coach and buy-in.
Yeah, like one comment on that, like that PNF stuff, there's a lot of really cool effects from it. You mentioned a few of them there, one being the physiological effects, like working on the Golgi tendon organs and the muscle spindles in the body through PNF, which is proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation. Say that five times fast. That does is it creates like a sense of safety and security inside the brain. So it when the brain feels more safe and secure, it will open up more range of motion. That's what isometrics are really great at. They also release an opioid response into the brain. So you get a nice little dopamine hit as well, which once again calms everything down and makes you feel good. But you touched on the emotional component about it as well, which is, I think, the most fascinating piece is that you establish buy-in, right? Brett Bartholomew talks about it all the time with his conscious coaching book of establishing buy-in. this is one way that I establish buy-in from a movement perspective. It's like, okay, I'm going to take you through some of this PNF stuff. We're going to put you into these loaded isometric or eccentric ranges. You are going to do it yourself. You don't need me. They're learning that in real time. And then they realize that they can change the way their body moves in an instant. Mm. Now, is it going to stick? No, not necessarily. But they establish buy-in in me. They're confident in me. They trust me to help guide them along the way. And then it's also empowering for them to do it themselves and to keep doing it. So it develops this idea of willpower and determination. And they're more likely to take this, what I have to tell them, to heart and actually implement it as well. A lot of cool features to it, Tex.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Nugget.
Well,
nugget.
If you're interested in peptides, find a knowledgeable person who can take you and explain it to you. Do a little bit of research, look at the data, and just find a smart person or a medical doctor or somebody who has a little bit of chops in this whole deal. Don't go all cowboy, start listening to podcasts, ordering a bunch of shit off the internet and injecting it. Just be smart and realize that at the end of the day, there's no magic peptide to get your ass in shape. You're going to have to work out. You're going to have to eat. You're going to have to do all the things that we talk about on this podcast. All these are is just small little things to help and maybe fix a few things if it's already been assessed. But the only way you know that is if you're doing some form of blood work or you're doing some form of testing. So recommend that, if you want to get granular, there's a lot of other things that I would look at before I started going down the road to peptides. So, but if you do have surgery and you're running into some problems, you can look at some of these healing things, which I think have some really good benefits. So if you got any more questions on it, you can always hit us up on the hotline and you can reach out to us on social media. And if you are anywhere listening to this podcast and feel the need to leave us a 5-star review, smash it. Leave us a funny, power athlete-esque review. And if it's good, our boy Chauncey will read it. And other than that, thank you for another episode of Power Athlete Radio.
Bye.
Now it's time for you to empower your performance. Head to powerathletehq.com/training to choose from a number of programs to meet your specific performance goals. And if you like to break a mental sweat too, visit academy.powerathletehq.com and become a real stakeholder in you or your athlete's success. Until next time, bye!